Let's talk about what's going on in Pakistan.
Now I request Mia Muhammad Shahbaz Sharif Saab to please take the seat of the Prime Minister of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan.
There's a new Prime Minister, Shahbaz Sharif, after Parliament kicked out the old one, Imran Khan. Khan was pushed out after he lost a no-confidence vote.
آخری گیند تک میں مقابلہ کروں گا. میں کبھی ہار زندگی میں نہیں مانی.
He tried to block the vote by dissolving Parliament and calling an election, but the Supreme Court stopped him, saying it was unconstitutional.
Perhaps one of the most dramatic weeks in Pakistan's kind of recent political history.
Khan says there's been a foreign conspiracy to push him out. But many political analysts say there's another explanation much closer to home.
The military ended up pulling its behind-the-scenes support from Khan.
So why did this all happen? And what does it mean for Pakistan? Here are five things you need to know. The first thing to know is that Pakistani politics is dominated by two political dynasties. There's the Bhutto family, which is linked to the Pakistan People's Party, the PPP. And then there's the Sharif family, who are associated with the Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, the PMLN. Shahbaz Sharif, the new prime minister, is the younger brother of Nawaz Sharif, who was prime minister three times. And what just happened was that these two political rivals came together as part of a united coalition to kick out Imran Khan.
They had been out for Khan's ouster almost since the moment he was elected.
It signifies this return to the old Pakistan, right? So this Pakistan, which is dominated by two families.
And that brings us to the second thing you need to know. Imran Khan has styled himself as a political outsider, even though he's been in the game for a long time. He's the Oxford-educated cricket player who led Pakistan's national team to its first and only World Cup victory in 1992. Over the years, he got a lot of media attention for his glamorous social and personal life. After his cricketing career, he became involved in charity work and then politics. He set up his own party, the PTI, in 1996.
Khan has been around in Pakistan's politics for over 20 years, but his political birth is said to be the year 2011, when he held a major public rally in Lahore and thousands of people showed up out of nowhere. No one saw it coming.
We are going to fight the parties of status quo.
In 2018, he was elected prime minister, although his opponents accused him of fraud and interference.
Main ye aapke samne ye pledge karta hu ki inshallah inshallah ye ek bilkul ab mukhtalif qisam ki Pakistan mein governance dekhenge.
His political platform has been built around this anti-corruption crusade. He has also complained about Pakistan's dynastic politicians and framed them as primarily responsible for Pakistan's economic woes, Pakistan's loss of international reputation and prestige.
One of the appeals of Imran Khan and the PTI in 2018 was that he provided this third alternative. Khan was able to mobilize perhaps a previously unmobilized segment of society, right? So this urban, more educated class of individuals.
So those are some of the big political players. But there's another powerful force in Pakistani politics that you need to know about, and that's the military. Since Pakistan was founded in 1947, the military has ruled the country directly for about half that time. You might have heard of generals like Muhammad Zia-ul-Haq and Pervez Musharraf. But even when civilian leaders have been in power, the military has still been suspected of playing kingmaker.
Most civilian political parties and civilian leaders in the past have achieved success only by having the military's, tacit or overt support.
And the military, it seems, has also played a role in Imran Khan's rise and fall.
He was helped into power by the military's support. But after he came into power, the military really expected him to deliver on certain counts.
And it seems there were a couple of big things the military wasn't happy about. First, Pakistan's economy has nosedived under Khan's watch. The country is struggling with high inflation, high unemployment, and its currency, the rupee, has hit record lows against the dollar. Secondly, there's foreign policy.
which the military considers to be under its purview. So Imran Khan maintained an anti-India and anti-Western approach to his foreign policy. And the relationship between the United States and Pakistan has been quite poor.
And Khan's recent appearances at the Beijing Olympics and with Russia's president on the day he launched the war in Ukraine have helped to reinforce the idea that Khan was going his own way on foreign policy, a direction the military didn't like.
This entire landscape ends up looking like, a turning away from the U.S., sort of towards China and Russia. And that is something the Pakistani military would not be on board with.
So all of these conditions created the opportunity upon which the opposition was able to capitalize at this moment.
Once the military stood back, it was clear that it had withdrawn its support from Khan. And essentially, the opposition parties now had free rein to go after Khan.
Now, Khan says the whole thing is a foreign conspiracy and that his removal from office was orchestrated by the Americans, although he hasn't provided any proof. Still, it's a message that plays well with his supporters.
Khan's strategy was to talk about this conspiracy and in that process, play up his anti-American credentials and frame himself as this strong nationalist leader that the West was not ready to accept, and at the same time delegitimize his political opponents, not just as corrupt, but also as anti-national.
So the next thing to know is a bit more about the new Prime Minister, Shahbaz Sharif. Remember, he's from one of the big political families and he leads the PMLN party. Sharif was the chief minister of Punjab 3 times. It's the province with the biggest population and biggest economy. It's where he earned his reputation as an effective administrator, someone who gets things done. In Punjab, he worked closely with China on some huge but controversial infrastructure projects, like the Lahore Metro. The Sharif family has also been linked to a bunch of corruption scandals. In 2020, Shahbaz Sharif and his sons were charged in a money laundering case that's still being fought. He denies he's done anything wrong. His brother, Nawaz, a former prime minister, was sentenced to 10 years for corruption after some of his financial dealings were leaked in the 2016 Panama Papers investigation. But Nawaz hasn't served any time. He was allowed to travel to London on medical grounds and hasn't returned to Pakistan. He says the charges were politically motivated.
I think there are two narratives about the Sharifs, right? One is the narrative that's championed by Khan and his supporters, which is that this is a dynasty and the Pakistani public has suffered because of their corruption. The other narrative is that that the Sharifs know how to govern, that they govern better.
And now, as Prime Minister, Shahbaz Sharif is under pressure to prove that, which takes us to the last thing you need to know. That the Pakistani people are going to get a say in all of this because a general election is coming up.
The real prize is the next election. Whoever wins the next election gets to be in power for 5 years.
The big question is, when will Pakistanis get to vote? Parliament's 5-year term ends in August 2023, which means elections have to take place by October 12th next year. But Sharif could call them sooner. He has to balance the need to show progress with the risk that the longer he's in the job, the more likely it is he'll get the blame if things don't improve, especially when it comes to the economy.
People are really hurting in the country due to soaring inflation and unemployment. It will really come down to how Sharif governs over the next year or so, if he can bring about a turnaround.
If there is a news story or a topic you're confused about and want us to explain, leave us a comment. And make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel so you don't miss our next episode. See you next week.